beautiful, isn't it? Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra. Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for a church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals for the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. With the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas, check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.
Good morning, church. It's good to be in the house of God. It's good to see each and every one of you. We're so glad that you've come to be with us this morning. As you may have known, as if you've looked at the news this morning, we woke up to national tragedy, and many of us are just really struggling, trying to understand how to make sense of this as we look in the face of the devil himself, in the face of evil. It's hard to understand the wickedness and the perversity. And I'd like us just to come before God's throne this morning and just to plead for mercy and to grace, and just ask Him to watch over this nation and to heal all the many hundreds of families and people who are suffering during this time. And so if you would, please join, and let's go before God in prayer. Father, we come before your most wonderful and awesome presence, and we do this very boldly, Father. We do it in the name of Jesus Christ, trusting in His sacrifice, the power of the blood and the body, the perfect life that was laid down for us, dear Lord. And Father, we thank you that we can come to this place, Father, that we can worship you, that we can know you, that we can be the very body of Christ, that we can have union with you and worship and praise you. Father, we come with heavy hearts, Lord, as we look at the world, as we look at the storms and the waves and the evil that we see all around us. Father, I pray that we might reflect in your power, Father, that you are sovereign, that you are enthroned right now over the circle of the earth, Father, and you look down and all the nations, they are as a drop in the bucket before you, Lord, and you have all things within your control and power, Father. We plead, dear Lord, for comfort and understanding. Father, I pray that you would be with all the families that are suffering. We have a special prayer request this morning. The Pena family who is here visiting with us. They're also suffering a tragic shooting within their own family. And so, Father, we just ask for the peace which transcends all understanding and knowledge to rest on those affected. And, Lord, just bless this time we have together, this sacred time where we assemble in Your name, where we open the words of life. Please guide us, Father. Give us food. Give us a word in order that we might be greatly encouraged, that we might be strengthened to do Your purpose for the short time, Lord, that we live in this life. Watch over us and bless us. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right. Well, good morning once again. I would invite you to turn over to Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're going to be in the 12th chapter. We're going to pick up in the 12th verse. And we're going to be studying a very important subject this morning. We're going to be reflecting on Paul's teaching about the body of Christ, the church of Christ, and we're going to be looking at some of these verses together. So I'm going to read chapter 12, verses 12 through 13. And Paul writes the following words: "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit." And so this morning, Paul puts before us the study of the church. Some have given this the title ecclesiology. That would be the fancy way of saying that. It simply means the study of the church. In order to do this, fundamentally, the first thing which Paul gives us is, he says, to look at the body. Consider its anatomy. David tells us in the Psalms that our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. And if you've ever studied the body, if you've ever studied anatomy, you will be all struck at the wonder and the amazement and the power of God. The mystery of the human body is so very wonderful. And we understand, though it is one, it is a unit, it has unity, it is composed of many different individual members that have many different unique functions. And we are ever learning and discovering of its complexities, and man still does not understand what exactly the different functions of the body entail. It's still a frontier. Isaac Newton, the father of modern science, which many would consider him to be the father of modern science, he said the following words. This is most profound. He says, "In the absence of any other proof, the thumb alone would convince me of God's existence." As he marveled on the wonder of the human body, he said, "If I just had the thumb, I don't need the sun, the moon, the stars. I don't need other creation. If I just was able to survey the power of God, the function, the way that the thumb is created, I would be convinced that God was the creator of all things." And so this morning, Paul is causing us to zero in and to focus on the church, to focus on ecclesiology, and he wants us to look at the body, which bears the very image and likeness of God. It is a picture of Christ's body, the church, and this, in some ways, has been a subject of confusion and even controversy. Maybe you've heard people say before, maybe you've used this yourself, that we are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And some people take offense at that. They don't understand that. And I think that this is best understood similar to marriage. By virtue of marriage, we are united spiritually. A man and a woman, they come together, and the Scripture says that they are one. In the same way, when we are converted, when we are baptized into this one body, this one Spirit, we become the body of Christ. We become united to Christ's body. And so when God has a problem in the world, when there's a teenager suffering with suicide, does He part the heavens and come down to comfort this person? Not exactly. He uses members of the body. He uses you. We are the body of Christ. We are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, biblically speaking. And so look now at verse 13. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. And so Paul here is speaking to the spiritual significance, the power that takes place at Christian conversion. That God creates in us spiritually, He gives us a new heart. That He removes the heart of stone and He gives us a heart of flesh. That we are actually born again of the will of Almighty God. Something powerful and glorious, spiritual, is taking place. And we are, in fact, a new creature. And this is not poetic language. And look at what is taking place. He says, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves and free. And he uses this gigantic word here. He says, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. And so Paul casts this gigantic net over every corner, over the face of the entire world, and says that through Christian conversion, what Jesus has done, all people might be brought together. Jews, who were this exclusive sect, this exclusive religious club that no one else could be a part of, the doors have now been opened up to even Greeks. And he's speaking to Greeks here, but of course this is not limited to all peoples and all Gentiles. And he's even done the unthinkable. He has brought these different economic classes together, both slaves and free, and by nature these groups do not associate. And so this is a most incredible thing which we see Jesus has done. Colossians 1:17. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together, and He is the head of the body, the church. Christ is what brings all things together. And so there's a great philosophical problem which the Greeks struggled with. As they looked out at the world, they saw diversity. They saw great differences. And their great struggle and great problem was, how do we make sense of the world? All the differences that we see, how do we bring these together and find unity in the midst of diversity? And clearly, we see that the perfect man, Jesus Christ, has done this very thing. He has brought diversity, and He has brought it together, and He has unified it in the body of Christ. And this is a wonderful thing to behold. And so in verse 14, we read as follows. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And so this is the foundation. If we understand the church, if we want to comprehend what God has done, what we are a part of, we have got to understand that, that the church, while it is one body, while it has unity, at the same time it is made up of diversity. It is made up of many members that have many different functions. And if we were to overlook this most plain and fundamental teaching, this will be the cause, and it has been the cause, of great frustration and division within the church. And this is the problem of the preacher. This is the problem of the individual church member to try to understand, to try to relate to the different members of the body of Christ. We need wisdom. We need to be sensitive to the fact that we're different. We're not all the same, and this is the challenge. And it is not to, and it is that we might not discourage one another because we are, in fact, different. And so, figuratively speaking, in the body of Christ, the hand cannot stand up and say that we all must be hands to enter the kingdom of heaven. We all must do the work of a hand to enter the kingdom of heaven. And you'd be surprised at how often this happens. What about the feet? What does this say to the feet? The feet have a unique purpose and function, but they do not have the same skills and giftedness of the hand. And so the answer is most clear that Paul has put before us this morning is that we desperately need both. And we must understand their individual and unique significance as well as their benefit to the collective whole. And let me use this illustration. Have you ever tried to eat with your feet before? Here's some laughing here. Maybe some have tried this, and some people do this. It's possible, but it's not easy. It's very difficult. Have you ever tried to walk on your hands before? It's possible, but it's really hard. It's really difficult. And so what a beautiful thing it is to understand the and our need for hands in order to serve, to do work, in order to help us to eat, and the hands benefit the feet, and how wonderful it is to be able to move, in order to run, in order to work, to use the feet in order to travel. And so we need to understand the difference. We also need to understand the unity which we have in the body of Christ. And this is entirely relevant. Many feel this way. Many feel like because I'm not a hand, because I don't have a certain giftedness, I don't belong to the body of Christ. And over the course of this lesson, I believe that the Scripture and the Lord through the Scripture is wanting to encourage each and every one of us. He's wanting to retrain and shape our understanding that we might have a complete and proper, healthy view of Christ's church. And so, in an interesting way, Charles Darwin, some number of years ago, based on his framework and his understanding of the world, he once claimed that the human body contains evolutionary leftovers. He maintained that our bodies are full of many different parts, and some of his followers afterwards said that there were hundreds of parts within the human body that had absolutely no function. And they're just leftovers from millions of years of evolving. We've just got these parts in our body, hundreds in fact, that have no purpose whatsoever. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to get rid of any of the parts of my body. No thank you. I'd like to keep those. And God has placed each one of the parts in the body for a purpose. And there is design involved, and we need to understand this wonderful concept. And so let's look now at verse 14 once again, and we'll read the following verses. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. And I want us to draw our attention to verse 18. This is most wonderful and profound. Verse 18 once more. But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. And sometimes we get this faulty notion, and maybe in some sense this is true, that when we pick a church, maybe we choose the church because we like the people at the church, or we like the functions that they have, or we like the activities, or I like the music of this church, or maybe this church is close, but I think we fail to understand the power and the significance of what is said in 18 when we really understand a church that God is a part of, a church that God is intending to bless. Look at what it says. God arranged the members in the body, each of them as he chose. And I am convinced that God, in his almighty power, in his providence, in his sovereignty, is orchestrating, he's working within his church to bring different types of people for such a time as this, just like a body. The Lord wants to put hands, he wants to put feet, he wants to put eyes, ears, he wants a nose, he wants these different people, and he wants to arrange them in order that they might work together, that they might bless one another, and that the body of Christ might function in order to do the work of the Lord. And so to further address that question, there are no evolutionary leftovers. There are no dispensable parts in the church. And this is the big point which Paul is trying to make. And we've all known people, and this is probably not too far from home, maybe within our own family, who are disabled. And many times, someone, they've got a job, and they're able to do their job, and they love it, and then one day, they become injured. And many times, it's just one body part. Maybe it's just a single foot, or maybe it's just one hand, and then this good worker becomes disabled in the same way. We must understand that every single part is indispensable, and we need all the parts of the body of Christ to do the work of the Lord. As we look at Peter's writing, I believe he relates it in this way. He likens the church of Christ. He likens the people within the church to living stones. And he describes that each one of us are being built together. It is as though God is shaping each one of us in order to be a part of the spiritual dwelling, the spiritual temple of God. And you cannot tell me that each one of these stones does not have great significance. They are indispensable, and they are useful to the master. This master builder has placed each and every one of us within the church in order to have design, in order to have a purpose, in order to benefit the whole. And so look at verse 21. And so Paul brings before us yet another problem, which just makes matters worse. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And so earlier, the problem that was put forward is there are certain members within the body that don't feel included. They don't feel like they have a role. They don't feel like they're needed within the body of Christ. And now we have a problem that even intensifies the current issue, is we have members within the church that say that they're just fine without other members in the church. And we see this great example here of how pride can take over the church, how foolish it is that one part in the body might think that it can survive autonomous. It can be separate from the other parts of the body of Christ. And so if someone was struggling with feeling included in the church, this would make matters worse to be told that you're worthless and you don't belong to the church. And so we see this also today, and this is a struggle that we have. And so pride is the main sin that is at play here. Proverbs says that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It is pride that leads a king to say, with 1,000 people, I have the ability to take on this king that has 10,000. It is foolishness, and it leads to great embarrassment. It leads to division, and it leads to disability. We also have members within the body of Christ today, based on pride and ignorance of their role within the church, who say, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to attend. I don't need to be involved. And based on Paul's argument, this is simply foolishness to suggest that an individual part of the body might survive independently. And so, as we said earlier, this leads to great embarrassment. If someone were to just walk headlong into a pit and to fall, we might ask the question, how could you not see this? How could you not hear people crying out to you saying, don't go into this this pit and fall? Well, these people are not using all their senses. They're not dependent upon one another. And so the big point which Paul is teaching us, the big point which the Bible is teaching that God wants us to understand, is that we are dependent, not independent, but dependent upon each other. And this is something we see all throughout Scripture. Paul relates that he is dependent upon the prayers of the church. His success, his missionary success, is dependent upon faithful Christians praying, likely in secret. Jesus teaches us dependence and how he was dependent upon the Father. And we too should learn from this example that he gives us. 1 Peter, we don't have time to go over there, but it relates many of the same concepts that God has given us a certain giftedness. He's given us certain strengths, and the purpose is in order that we might bless one another. I don't come to the body of Christ, if I don't attend, if I don't associate with the different members of Christ, I cannot be blessed. I cannot be strengthened, and apart from which we wither and we die and we come to nothing. And then Hebrews clearly relates the fact that we are to not forsake the assembly. In fact, we are to come together and we are to encourage one another as long as it is called today. And we need, I cannot emphasize this enough, we, the individual parts of the body, we need each other. We need eyes. We desperately need that function in order to see, in order that we might stay on the straight and narrow path, in order that we might see danger approaching us. This is a great function of the body of Christ. We need ears. We need to be able to heed the commandments of God, to listen to what He says. We need to be able to hear the cry of warning. This is an essential function, and we need to be able to smell as well. It is a matter of life and death. If you're in a burning building and you can't smell the smoke, you're going to perish. You're going to be lost. And we need individual members within the body of Christ who have these different functions. We need a mouth. We need to be able to speak the Word of God. We need to be able to speak the Gospel, to instruct, to rebuke, to warn one another. We need hands. We need to be able to do the service, to do the work of the Lord. We need to be able to have feet in order to move. And all of us, as the Bible clearly teaches, are to submit under the headship and to be united to the head of Jesus Christ. And as we reflect on God's wisdom here, as we reflect on Paul's teaching this morning, we might ask the question, why? Why has God orchestrated and created the church in such a way? Well, I want us to consider what happens every time. Let's say that I am an eye. I don't have the ability to hear. Every time I need to hear, I've got to go to my brother or to my sister and ask what was said. I can't hear these things. Or when it's time to smell, I need to ask someone else. Each time I do this, it is a reminder of my dependence, and it is a cause that I might be humbled, and it reminds me that I am not sufficient within myself. I am dependent upon another, and the grace which God has given me, though it is wonderful, it is from God, and I cannot live as a law unto myself, but I need one another. It is given to us, these different parts of the body, in order to humble us, in order that we might rely on one another. And there is great wisdom that God has put forward in the creation of the body of Christ. And so back here to verse 22. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And I want us to reflect upon this. I want this to soak in that the weaker parts, we cannot do without these things. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body. But the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And if you've ever stubbed your toe before, you understand in full what this is talking about. How the slightest amount of pain inflicted to the body causes intense pain and frustration to the whole. And I want us to focus here on what Paul is talking about, on those unpresentable parts, on those parts that don't come before the public eye, that we as people may not give as much glory to. Consider this fact, that gold and silver and precious stones, where do we find these things? Do they grow on trees? Are they in the light of day? Do we see them before the common eye? No, these are hidden. They are buried treasures, and they are deep within the heart of the earth. And in the very same way, God has special and hidden treasures, and some of the greatest and most wonderful works within the church are not visible to the eye. These are buried treasures, gold and silver. What does Jesus say when he teaches on prayer? Does he say, go and stand on the street corner? Does he say, go to the synagogue, go to the temple and pray before people and make a big show in order that you might glorify me? No, he doesn't say that. He says, go into your own house and pray in secret. And when your Father sees what is done in secret, he is going to reward those things. And I am convinced that the greatest work of the church, the most important work of the church, is not what is visible, what is on the surface, but is what is underneath the surface. Just like an iceberg, we see the very tip, and it's wonderful and it's neat to see, but underneath, that is what the iceberg is truly made of, and that is what supports the whole. And in the same way, it is the hidden life of prayer, which is the engine behind the church. It is private devotion. These are the indispensable functions, the indispensable activities of the church, apart from which we would have no hope. It is our private devotion, is what is done in the family behind closed doors. We don't have a view of what each one of us does when we go home, but this is the most important fact of what advances the church. This is our dire need. And so this morning, Paul has greatly helped us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And once again, many of us from different times, we get discouraged because maybe we're feet and we're looking at the hands, and we see that we don't have the ability to do the function that the hands have the ability to do. And maybe matters are made worse. Maybe the hands are telling the feet that you're not a part of the body of Christ because you can't do what the hands are doing. And this is foolishness. And we need to focus on the fact that each and every member of the body has been placed there by God for a purpose, and it is indispensable, and we need every member of the body of Christ. If we're going to be healthy, if we're going to grow, if we're going to make an impact on the world, each body, each unique member is going to have to function and be encouraged and going to have to thrive because God has put them there. And then the second thing, and many of us struggle with this as well, is this spirit of pride. The Bible is clearly speaking to us this morning that we cannot do this by ourselves. And God has given you special and unique talents, but He has not given you other talents in order that you must come to the church and you must rely on your brothers and sisters in order that they might help you, in order that you might be dependent upon other members within the body. And ultimately, we're all to submit under the headship of Jesus Christ. And so, finally, this morning, I want us to reflect on the following. If we have not been baptized into this one body of Christ, if we are not members of the body, in the view of God, we are dead. We are outside of Christ. We are cut off from Him. And the Scripture is ever so clear that the judge is standing at the door. God even now is ready to judge East Dallas. He's ready to judge the world, and the judgment is near. It is at hand. And He has commanded each and every one of us to turn away from our sins, to repent from serving sin, serving self, and serving the devil, to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the remission of our sins, in order that we might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so this is the everlasting command. If you believe the gospel, we would urge and plead for you to come forward and to receive God's grace through baptism. If there's any other prayers of the church, we would also urge that you would come forward as we stand and sing our invitational song.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who He says He is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by Him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, He can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray that this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at this same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast times. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally. Go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.
Yeah.
beautiful, isn't it? Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra. Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for a church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. With the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas, check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.